This is Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. If you live in Cape Girardeau and have a Facebook account, you might have seen a page boasting the name The City of Cape Girardeau. It has the city seal as its profile picture and nearly 6,000 followers and counting. But there's a catch. It's not run by the city of Cape Girardeau, and the posts on the page aren't real either. It's a satire page. One post that resonated with many people in August went a little something like this.
In preparation of the opening of our Krispy Kreme, the city council has voted to enact a law requiring all citizens to carry insulin and blood sugar monitors. Anyone caught without these items will be forced to eat a dozen glazed donuts within a 2-minute time period. If you cannot finish within 2 minutes, you will be exiled to Bollinger County.
And another earlier this month.
To save money, instead of building a new courthouse, we will be moving into the old Stephen Barry site at West Park Mall. Taxpayers, you're welcome.
Well, KRCU's Lindsey Grojean got a hold of the person behind that account, but he wants to remain anonymous. He started the page several weeks ago, and when asked if he was just an observant native, he said he moved here from Farmington 8 years ago.
I had about a year and a half of high school left. Because of that, I really went out and tried to make friends with all kinds of people in vastly different social circles. And since most people really tend to gravitate towards spending time with their specific group of friends, I feel like it really limits the amount of experiences they're able to have with everything going on around them. I feel if you keep yourself from going out of your comfort zone, it really limits the amount of opportunities you have to expand on your social network and meet all kinds of new people that can help you with things later on down the road. Or, in my case, feed me with hours of material for things to poke fun at.
So what started this? When did you start this profile?
Just a couple weeks ago, actually. I was on my way to work one day. I got stuck in a line of cars behind a big box truck that couldn't really accelerate as fast as we'd wanted it to. In those steep hills there on Mount Auburn, actually, between Hopper and Independence. Really, I was running late for work because I overslept. But I got to work finally, and I decided I'm going to start this page, and Mount Auburn Road was going to be its first victim.
All right. Yeah, I think I saw that picture. Was it a car driving an opposite way on the other side of the road?
That actually was a different time there, that post. But no, that one was indeed a car driving in the opposite lane of Mount Auburn.
One of your most liked posts with 822 reactions has to do with the traffic in Cape. And it's kind of funny because you started this page in the traffic in Cape. There's a crazy amount of roundabouts, and they've been installed recently. And from personal experience, I've hardly ever entered one of those things without someone doing something wrong, myself included. Do you think trouble on the roadways in Cape is a prominent problem in the city from what you've observed?
I really do feel like it is indeed a problem, and I certainly don't think I'm the only one that feels the same way with the response I've been getting. It seems that most of those posts I've posted in regards to traffic have received the most reactions by far. And with Cape, it is quite a large hub of activity in southeast Missouri, which really compounds that traffic problem, since you may be surrounded by drivers coming in for doctor's appointments, shopping. But ultimately, I feel that the majority of our traffic problems are not because of infrastructure, but simply due to human error.
And that's the thing that you make fun most of, correct?
Exactly. Human error. We all make mistakes, and if we can laugh at it, ultimately, that's what counts.
Had you been thinking about starting it for a while?
I had thought about it. I'm pretty sure many people are somewhat familiar with the other city satire pages at this point, notably the City of St. Louis page created by two guys from St. Charles. I'm from the St. Louis area, so I was able to relate to the humor of that page as well, and I figured I could do that with Cape, too, but I never did anything with it until just here recently.
I've seen those other ones. They have, there's similar accounts in Gordonville and Jackson, and there might be more, but are you heading these as well, or are they some of your friends, or do you know them?
No, I've actually only created the City of Cape page.
Gotcha.
The other ones, the other ones I didn't start to notice until they started commenting on my page's post.
In fact,
I was kind of tricked myself. I saw the City of Jackson commented on one of my posts informing us they wouldn't be paying us to take our class on navigating roundabouts. But I'm not really sure who created them, or if it was one person or multiple people. But it does help make the post more entertaining at times, I think.
It definitely does. I didn't even notice them before or until they started commenting on yours.
They are everywhere, it seems, just about now.
So I kind of want to talk about the humor in the page. It's really dry, and it sounds like it could be making fun of a city, kind of like a fictional Pawnee of the NBC show Parks and Rec. And
right.
It kind of sounds like that humor, and they make fun of cities, organization, and government, really. It's very similar to The Onion also. Would you categorize yourself among a sense of humor like this? It attracts a lot of people, and it seems to be kind of a current trend in comedy these days.
Yeah, I definitely would categorize it along those lines. Really, these days, it seems like every other day you're hearing of an elected official being caught doing something they shouldn't be doing, or really a city wasting money on something you feel like they shouldn't. Well, in reality, I feel like officials like that are few and far between, and I hold no actual disdain for anyone within the government of the city of Cape Girardeau. It's just a type of humor that really resonates with me, and I feel also the same as those who follow my page feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. So have any city officials ever contacted you?
No, I've yet to officially hear from anyone at all within the city of Cape other than their, I wouldn't really call it an endorsement of the page. However, they are indeed aware of it and sure to link to the page on their actual municipal government page. Last week, I just discovered yesterday, along with a very interesting Bill Murray meme.
Yeah, and today they also sent out a press release to everybody in the city about it. And they said, oh my gosh, there is a satirical page, but it's not us. But you can have fun reading it. It was very funny.
I actually wasn't aware of that word.
It was in one of our emails. They send out emails of multiple things that happen in the community, and that was one of them. And they had posted that meme as well. It was practically the Facebook post in the press release, but it was pretty funny.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Okay, I hope at this point they aren't too upset about it, and it's all in fun.
Yeah, they handled it pretty humorously. They thought it was really funny. Did you expect to get such a large following?
I didn't really. I invited some people I was friends with on Facebook to like the page, and I was really just hoping to take some screenshots to get a couple laughs on my personal page. And however, it seemed like people shared these posts on their own without me prompting them. And then at that point, I realized, oh, this is something bigger than I imagined it would be.
Yeah. Has it opened any options for you in future situations? Are you looking at comedy writing or any kind of entertainment career options?
No, I've always tried to be that funny guy growing up, sometimes to an annoying point. But if you don't try, never know what you can put yourself up to do. I haven't really ever considered anything professional in regards to writing or any sort of comedy. I'm actually probably the most boring major in regards to that business administration there, actually, at CMO. No, this has been kind of something I've just done on the side. I haven't given it much thought in regards to other doors it could open up.
Yeah. So another thing, the humor, it's satirical, and the majority of followers, they seem to believe it as such by looks of their reactions. I've seen a good chunk of people commenting and believing it's completely serious. For example, a mom of a student at the university commented on a post about a Southeast freshman picking up their parking violations, and she was really believing of that. She actually believed that they just had to go pick up their parking violations without doing anything wrong because everyone gets a parking violation. Have you ever responded to these?
I do respond occasionally, and that woman in particular, I believe I told her that we thanked her son for helping fund our public college system. But in between her original post and my comment, I think she'd figured out we weren't all too serious because she ended up liking several other posts on the page. I really just tend to let other followers creatively fill in the uninformed of the page's true intent. And actually, I've responded quite a bit today in kind of a change of direction, actually. I don't know if you're aware, but we've actually purchased the prison over there in Tams, Illinois, if you're familiar with that. And we're going to float it across the river to a nice subdivision over here by a golf course. And we have a woman who's gravely concerned that we're going to drop this on her land along the way.
Oh, my goodness. But how long do you want to keep this going?
I don't know. And I'm not really for sure how long. I mean, as long as people are still following and still getting enjoyment out of the page, I really feel like there's not really going to be a shortage of material to come up with in regards to zany things that happen within this community and our surrounding neighbors. It's really just, I guess it would just depend on the effort I put forth and how lazy I may get.
Yeah, you have to have a schedule kind of to write kind of every day. Like you gotta keep it going every day. Is that kind of hard to get the motivation to do that ever?
At times it can be. I've noticed I've tried to post at least a time or two a day, just at the minimum, because regardless of content, how humorous it may be, you have to keep something out there. That way you keep people coming back. That way you keep them engaged and still involved and give them a reason to really pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. Another thing, kind of societal problems, they can be brought to light through humor like this. It kind of pokes fun at it, as you mentioned earlier. You know, there's just a twinge of that truth behind the post, too. And besides the humor, that's kind of why people follow, I think. Are there problems that you think go unaddressed just from not being seen by the media or just because they go under the radar of officials?
Well, personally, I honestly feel like most problems officials are indeed aware of. However, I think really many cities, Cape included, lack the resources to tackle every little issue that occurs all at once. Instead, they kind of have to prioritize and pick and choose what to fix based on the resources available to them, what is in the best interest of their community as a whole. Similar to kind of how triage is in an emergency room, larger, more pertinent problems will be taken care of before smaller issues can be addressed. The only problem with that, though, is the number of problems is static, and new problems will always come up, and those ones may be more pertinent to fix than the ones still waiting to be addressed.
So the ones that can't get addressed too quickly, we just got to laugh about them, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's all you can do at some point, like them pesky geese.
Yeah, that's something I can deal with, though. It's more entertaining than a lot of the other things that go on.
Of course. Cape does have its fair share of problems, but I believe everyone is trying to do the best they can and are in a position of power to do something about it.
All right. Is there anything else that you would like to kind of explain with the page?
I can't honestly really think of much at all. I don't know if I pointed it out or not, but I am actually indeed a graduate of Jackson High School and adore them. I've made fun of Jackson quite a bit here in recent. They encourage people, if they enjoy what they see, continue to like and share on Facebook, share with your friends, your family, and I'll try my best to make everyone laugh still.
Wonderful. All right. That's a great gift you can give people.
Of course. You're welcome, and you have a great day, and thank you.
That was KRCU's Lindsay Grojean speaking with the man behind the satirical City of Cape Girardeau Facebook page. After the break, more from KRCU's Going Public.
Hi, I'm Ari Shapiro. Love what you hear on your car radio, but don't love your car anymore? Well, donate it to us. Your car can be turned into the programs you love. Here's how.
Visit KRCU.org and click on support for all the details.
We're back with Going Public on KRCU, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Dan Shelley says when journalism is deprived of its right to report on key issues, it's the community that suffers. The message from the new executive director for the Radio Television Digital News Association, or RTDNA, and its foundation comes amid an influx of fake news and, in some cases, violence against reporters. Shelley, who was a former news director for Springfield radio station KTTS, tells KSMU's Scott Harvey that since the first of the year, at least 20 journalists have been arrested just for doing their jobs.
At least 16 journalists, many of them local journalists, have been assaulted by members of the public and by protesters and counter-protesters, six of those 16 in Charlottesville, Virginia. In late August in Berkeley, California, there was supposed to be an alt-right demonstration, and calmer heads prevailed because the city convinced the alt-right demonstrators to cancel their demonstration in light of what happened in Charlottesville. But the counter-protesters, the anarchists, Antifa and other groups, didn't hear about the cancellation. So they showed up anyway. And when there were no alt-right protesters to go after, they started attacking reporters and other people who were just there documenting, taking photos and videos with their phones. They beat people. They stomped on their cameras. Don't take pictures of us. So it's a nonpartisan phenomenon, if you will. It's coming at journalists from all points along the political and ideological spectrum.
Besides safety, which is an obvious threat there for journalists, what is their biggest concern when it comes to being able to freely report on these events?
Well, that's why we're here to help. We meaning RTDNA. I mean, we offer coverage guidelines, and we have a code of ethics that helps guide broadcast and digital journalists as they perform their duties every day. We also offer legal services. We have on retainer a very high-powered First Amendment attorney in Washington, whom we make available to local counsel for journalists who might be arrested or get sued to help those local counsel form their arguments and their cases based on relevant Supreme Court case law. And we provide other support. If we hear from a journalist, hey, I'm in the middle of a hurricane and I've got no place to go, we try to find them a place to go.
And, of course, RTDNA making the resources available after the fact if those events do present themselves. What can be done to mitigate those types of situations?
Well, our Voice of the First Amendment Task Force has two missions. The first mission is to defend against every attack on the First Amendment and press freedom. The second mission is to work with journalists to help them learn how to be more transparent in their reporting so that they can help the public better understand why outstanding responsible journalism is essential to their daily lives. All over the country, every single day, there are reports that come out in local TV, local radio, on local digital news outlets that expose a problem or expose corruption or shine light on a situation that otherwise the public wouldn't have known about. And those stories serve as catalysts that lead to positive change in those communities. And we've got to do a better job as journalists in highlighting those situations, in explaining to the public the ethical dilemmas that we face every single day and how we resolve those ethical dilemmas to try to be responsible and to try to be members of the community.
Dan Shelley is the executive director for the Radio, Television, Digital News Association. A younger group of politicians are stepping to the forefront after a judge acquitted former St. Louis police officer Jason Stockley of the first-degree murder of Anthony Lamar Smith. They're fed up that a white police officer once again wasn't punished for killing a black person. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on how elected officials from St. Louis are advocating and agitating for change.
In the hours after a judge acquitted Stockley of first-degree murder last week, St. Louis Alderman John Collins Muhammad appeared at the street where Anthony Lamar Smith died roughly 6 years ago. He relayed a clear message.
Today we will proclaim justice or else. Justice or else.
Joining Collins Muhammad were two younger Democratic state lawmakers. The first was Bruce Franks, who was in the protest movement that emerged after Michael Brown's 2014 shooting death in Ferguson. The other was Joshua Peters, who represents a legislative district in North St. Louis struggling with vacant buildings and homicide.
I witnessed five of my friends get murdered right in front of me walking outside of Beaumont High School. When does it stop? When does any of this stop? You have the power. You have the power. What are you going to give us? We're still enslaved.
Peters, Collins, Muhammad, and Franks are millennial politicians coming to power when there's a nationwide movement over how police treat black people. They're not only working for policy change in legislative bodies, but they've also joined with people demonstrating in St. Louis over Stockley's acquittal. Frank says his goals are more far-reaching than just getting a bill to the governor's desk.
You can't tell that my life matters from some bullet points on a piece of paper. You have to feel it. And we have to make you feel it. We have to make you uncomfortable. We have to make sure you're not at ease and business isn't as normal. So we have to do it strategically and we have to be consistent.
These elected officials face steep obstacles. Franks and Peters are working in a Republican legislature that's been slow to make changes after Ferguson. And GOP lawmakers like Representative Rob Vescovo of Jefferson County don't believe protesters are making a compelling pitch.
I will listen to your cause and understand your cause more if you're speaking to me about your cause rather than spitting in my face or tearing my room up.
Democratic Senator Jamila Nasheed experienced some of the frustration firsthand, even on a local level, trying to fund police body cameras. She says, though, that activist politicians can be effective if they remain persistent.
Because they go out and they activate, they advocate, and they galvanize the people, and then they look towards those individuals to continue to represent them.
Civil rights movements have often prompted people in St. Louis to run for office. Congressman Bill Clay went to Washington, D.C. after participating in civil rights-era demonstrations. And Mike Jones ran for the Board of Aldermen after he was involved in the black student movement. Jones says politicians coming to power after Ferguson and the Stockley verdict are in a unique position because a movement for African-American dignity is propelling them forward.
You can keep Barack Obama's hope, but change will always be slow and the system will fundamentally always be resistive to it. And that's the attitude and frame of reference you got to have when you move into structural politics.
Collins Muhammad says his constituents aren't waiting around anymore for their lives to change.
So we're all working together to push out the message that that we need accountability. We are demanding justice, and we are demanding that the system, that police department, and police officers stop killing us.
The elected officials involved in the Stockley verdict demonstrations say their fight will continue long after protests end. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. St. Louis Public Radio.
That music means we got to wrap things up, but to hear all the stories from today's show, visit krcu.org or go to iTunes to hear this podcast. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Join me Friday nights at 6 for KRCU's Going Public.